You either have an easy faith or a hard, strong faith. When life gets difficult, and it will, an easy faith will leave you unsatisfied. You must develop a hard faith to survive in this hard world. Habakkuk shows us how to develop a hard faith.
A little while ago, a couple months or so ago, I'm the pastor over at Christ Central over in Cocoa, and it's an honor to be here with you today to bring a message to you from the Word. I want to talk to you today about hard faith. Faith that gets through difficult times. I want to start with a story. I've reached the age where nearly every comment that somebody makes to me is followed by the phrase, "for your age." Doctors, "well, you're pretty healthy for your age." Friends and neighbors, "Don, you don't look too bad for your age." You get around pretty good for your age. "You know, you're not a bad preacher for your age." And so I decided that I was going to develop my own workout routine to try to get a little healthier. So a couple of weeks ago, I started taking 2 5-pound potato sacks and holding them outstretched in my arms for 1 minute. Now, it took me a few times to get to 1 minute. It took me a few days to do that, but I did. Then I went to 2 10-pound potato sacks, and I did the same thing. Eventually, I worked up to holding them out for a minute. Then I went to 20 pounds. Now, you're starting to wonder about this about now, aren't you? Then I went to 20-pound potato sacks, and it was really, really difficult for me to do that. But eventually, and I don't even want to tell you how long it took me to do that, but eventually I got there, and I went to 20-pound potato sacks. And then the next step in that routine is very important, because then I started putting a potato in each one of those sacks. That's when it really got bad. And I wonder if you ever reached a point in your life where you don't need to stay as fit as you think you do, or maybe you need to get a little more fitness in your life. And have you ever reached that point in life where you don't need to exercise? And this is what we're going to talk about today. Your faith. Faith is easy when life is going well. You can say amen. When everything's going well in life and everything's good, faith is easy. But faith is not easy when life gets difficult. And life always gets difficult. But easy faith often lets us down when life is not easy anymore. And we all sort of intuitively know that. The people in your life that have had the greatest impact on your faith are people who have not had it easy. The people that had the greatest impact on you as you looked at them and looked at their faith are people that didn't have an easy life. And so what do I mean when I say hard faith? Because we have to exercise often in life hard faith. And I mean a faith that's hard to come by. The kind of faith that will sustain you when very difficult times come in your life. And we all know this. Everybody goes through difficult times at times because life is hard. So it seems to me that we live in a country where we are seemingly in the last few years going through just a difficult season of times. So God's people have to exercise hard faith. So what I'm going to look at today is I'm going to take a lesson out of the book of Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk is a little book that might be hard for you to find. It's right next to the book of Nahum. which probably didn't help you at all when I said that. Habakkuk in the Old Testament is considered one of the minor prophets. He's not called a minor prophet because his message was less. He's called a minor prophet because his message was short. His message was only 3 chapters long. So I would urge you after this, maybe you might want to take a look at this little book that has some very interesting, I think, lessons that we can learn about exercising hard faith. And the first thing that we're going to discover is that Habakkuk is unlike any other prophet in the Old Testament. Habakkuk never addresses the people. The other prophets do. Habakkuk doesn't address the people. He never does that. All the other prophets do that, but Habakkuk, and the reason is simply this: Habakkuk's problem is not with the people. Habakkuk's problem is with God. And so Habakkuk is going to be talking to God, and specifically, he is not happy with God's inaction concerning God's people. He can't understand how God can tolerate so much injustice in the nation that he loves so much. And so Habakkuk looks at his country and his nation and he says, it is a mess. It says a mess. And I don't understand, God, why you are not doing something about this mess that the country is in. You might want to say amen to that too, right? I mean, it's kind of a contemporary lesson from an old prophet. And so Habakkuk says in chapter 1, the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. Here's what he says. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you won't listen, or cry out to you violence, but you don't save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife, conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is always perverted. Sometimes there are just places where you want to say, amen, that's true. And so, now a little context to this thing that Habakkuk is saying. God had delivered his people from Egyptian bondage and they had settled in the land of Canaan. When they settled in the land of Canaan, after they had conquered that, after the judges, Israel was a united kingdom under 3 kings, and that was King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. After King Solomon died, there was a division in the entire country, and you probably know all this, but 10 of the tribes separated and went north. They became known as the Kingdom of Israel. 2 of the tribes stayed south, down in Jerusalem. They became known as the Kingdom of Judah. And so Habakkuk was born after this happens. The northern tribes become awfully evil and wicked. And during that time, God sends the Assyrian army down and takes them all captive and takes them away, and they never return. The southern 2 tribes, the kingdom of Judah, start following along the same path that their sister did in the north. And when that happens, God is trying to get their attention that they need to straighten up and get out of idolatry, immorality, and all that. So both kingdoms had gone into a spiritual decline. The apostasy, idolatry, and injustice was everywhere. The northern tribes declined quicker. God takes them away. No more existence. Now Habakkuk is born right after that, and he knows what has happened, but God's prophet here to the southern kingdom of Judah. So Habakkuk is talking to the kingdom that's left, the kingdom of Judah. The others are gone because of the things that happened. And so Habakkuk sees them doing the same things that the northern tribes did. And he sees injustice, he sees evil, cruelty everywhere he looks, and he is bothered by it, and his faith is struggling because he doesn't understand. Now, This is not new. The problem of evil has been around forever. And you and I both know people that have probably said something like this to you. The reason I can't believe in God is because there is evil everywhere. Okay? You've heard that statement. If you've been a Christian any time, you've heard that statement. And the irony of that simply is this, that the evil in the world is one of the best reasons to believe in God. Because evil is only a problem if God actually exists. If God doesn't exist, why do you have a problem with evil? A guy named Richard Dawkins, a well-known atheist and an author, in his book, A River Out of Eden, A Darwinian View of Life, wrote this. Now, he's an atheist, and he wrote this. The total amount of suffering every year in the world is beyond all decent contemplation. In a universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt, others are going to get lucky, and you won't find any rhyme or reason to it or justice. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect. There is no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, just pitiless indifference. Now, I kind of think that that would be a sorry way to go through life, Mark, to be honest with you, having that kind of an attitude. Now, that worldview doesn't give me much hope. So, if there is no benevolent deity, if there is no God behind everything, and this is just a mechanical universe, and you and I are simply a cosmic accident, you should expect life to be cruel, random, and unfair. If that's the way it is, that's what you should expect. But that is not Habakkuk. He is sure of the existence of God and the character of God, but his faith is still struggling with how God is running the universe. So in verse 12, he says this, Lord, are you not from everlasting, my God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those that are more righteous than themselves? Okay, that's Habakkuk's problem. He's a man of faith. He's just like you. He believes in God, but there's just things that happen in the world that he doesn't understand. So Habakkuk says, God, you're holy and good, you're so powerful, and you are a rock. So what do you do when you believe in the rock? You do. But life has rocked your world. And here's what we do. We need a rock that can sustain us even when we are between a rock and a hard place. Amen? We need a faith that'll sustain us, and that's hard faith. And the truth is, that is where probably most of us are from time to time. And certainly in our own culture, in our own country, in the last 3 or 4 years, we've gone through an awful lot of stuff, wouldn't you say? We've had a pandemic, and we've had no mask, mask, two masks, no mask mandates, isolation, shutdowns, vaccines, vaccine mandates, inflation, gas prices, war, corruption, lies, abortion, gender mechanics, and it goes on and on. And you have to say, all of us have looked at the world and went, what in the world is going on? Jesus is certainly going to return soon because this is a mess. And so that's kind of where Habakkuk is. A place where easy faith just will not cut it. Now the truth is, we're not in a time where easy faith makes it through. But we all need to have and develop a faith that sustains us through difficult times. And all those things that I mentioned and all the things that we're experiencing now are difficult times. A faith that can hold you up when life continues to want to take you down. And that is why Habakkuk has interesting things to say. One of the most important verses, he says this in Habakkuk 2. See, the enemy is puffed up, Habakkuk says. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by faith. And so, in other words, we need a faith that is exercised and healthy. Today, though, I want to look at a couple of things about why faith. Why are things like they are? Now, listen carefully. Why are things like they are if God is who He says He is? Why all the injustice? Why all the evil? Why all the corruption? Why all of that if God is who He says He is? Because why faith lives between how things are and who God is. Because when we look out at the world, and I think every generation has done this, when we look out the world, we just go and say, why? Why is all of this mess happening? Why is all of this? And we wonder at times about God and go, why do you tolerate such wrongdoing? We all know it's wrong. Why do you tolerate it? Habakkuk was having trouble reconciling the deity that was on the throne with the evil in the world and the reality that he saw every day on the streets. And he was having trouble reconciling that. And here's the thing. Your why is ultimately going to be answered not by why, but by who. So the question, we question God on the basis of what kind of rock that we think He is. Several decades ago, a best-selling book was published. It was this: Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Written by a rabbi named Harold Kushner, who didn't write from some abstract point of view. He wrote because his son was born with a genetic defect and his son died. And it not only led to the boy's early death, but it was a painful death. And as a rabbi, he tried to reconcile the why with the who. And he concluded that God is good. Here's what he concluded. That God is good, but He can't do everything. And you've heard the phrase, God is great, God is good. Well, Rabbi Kushner concluded that God is good, but He's not great. If you mean by great that He can do whatever He wants, because if He was great, He would have healed my son. That was the rabbi's conclusion. If He was a great God, He may be a good God, but if He was a great God, He would have healed my son. Now, some people go to the other extreme to say our God or our gods are great, but they're not good. And that's why there's so much pain in the world. And the point is, we're going to resolve our why based on our who. And it is what we call our rock. So Habakkuk, and this is important, Habakkuk would never have asked. He would never have asked why if he was a polytheist. He would have never said why, because a person who believes in multiple gods just says there's other gods out there competing with my God. And so they must be stronger than my God in this area. He would have never asked that if he was a deist, because there is a God who makes everything. He just doesn't care that much. He would have never asked that if he was an atheist. He would just say there is no God. But Habakkuk is not like that. Habakkuk is a man of faith. He's like you. He's a person of faith that doesn't understand what's going on in the world that he's a part of. If you ask Habakkuk, who is God? He would say, there is one God and he is one, and God is good and he is holy and he can't do anything bad. He is great and sovereign and he is on the throne. That's what Habakkuk would say. And most of us, if not all of us in this room, believe the very same thing. Because even if we know the why, and oftentimes we do want to know why. But even if we know the why, we still have things to wrestle with. Because sometimes, even when God explains why, we don't like the answer that he gives us. Right? And so, God gives Habakkuk an answer to his question. Remember, Habakkuk's question is, why do you sit and do nothing while the country is going down the tubes? It's awful. Corruption everywhere. Why do you sit back and do nothing? And so God decides that he will answer Habakkuk, and he says this. Look at the nations, Habakkuk, and watch this. You are going to be utterly amazed. Because I'm doing something in your days that you wouldn't believe even if I told you. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who are going to sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings that are not their own. So God's answer to Habakkuk is, you think I've been ignoring all of this stuff that's going on in your nation? I'm not ignoring it. Actually, I'm raising up another nation. It's the Babylonians, and they're going to come down, and they are going to have my justice. And so God tells Habakkuk, I do see the evil and the cruelty and the injustice. I see it, and the Babylonians are coming to destroy the nation and take the entire nation captive back to Babylon. And so we really want to hear from God until he says something that we don't want to hear. And that was the way Habakkuk was. And so Habakkuk goes from, don't you care, to, that's not fair. He goes from that position of, don't you even care about our nation, to, wait a second, what you just said, that's actually not fair, God. He says in verse 13, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You can't tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? God, how is that fair? The Babylonians are a lot worse than us. So Habakkuk goes from thinking that God wasn't doing enough to thinking that God was doing too much. He said, they are worse than we are. I know our nation needed some discipline, but you're going way beyond what I thought you were going to do. And by doing so, he was revealing that God was not meeting his expectations of who he thought God should be. And so hard places in life often, now listen carefully, hard places in life often expose a hard truth about our faith. We start thinking that God, if he exists, does so to make sure my life is the way I want it to be. That's what we start thinking. And that kind of faith, listen, that kind of faith will not sustain you when hard times come. That kind of faith will shatter you when difficult times come in your life. Because we need a faith that will hold on to God no matter what happens. No matter what happens. I read a story about that type of faith in a book by Tim Keller on suffering. He tells a story about a theologian, William Sullivan, who, as a very young pastor, heard that a couple in his church had a baby, so he went to the hospital to visit. And he went to the room to see the doctor with the couple. Her child had been born with Down syndrome and some serious but treatable respiratory issues that could be corrected with a simple surgery, but it had to be done right away. The doctor's advice was to let nature take its course and eliminate the problem. The mother said, "What do you mean, eliminate the problem?" "Well," he said, "raising a child like this with special needs is difficult. It's going to be hard on your marriage. It's going to be hard on your finances. And it's going to be hard on your other two children. Why would you want to put yourself and your family through that kind of suffering?" And so she said, "Well, we've had a life relatively free of suffering. And this child could be a real blessing to our family. Teaching us to love better, to be more selfless, and to learn more about God's grace and mercy." So the doctor turned to the pastor and he said, "Will you reason with them and talk some sense into them?" And Keller said, what the doctor didn't realize is that they were reasoning. It was just a different kind of reason. The doctor was using his worldview to reason that we are all just accidents and we really shouldn't be here, and the purpose of our existence is to avoid suffering. And if that's your worldview, the doctor's advice makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If that's your worldview, just get rid of the problem. But they had a different worldview, and that worldview, theirs, was under the control of a good God, and that suffering can always be redeemed. That someday Jesus will return, and he will make things right. So the surgery was performed, and they took their boy home, and they raised him with great joy. But if your worldview is one way, it'll cause you to draw one conclusion. If you have a different worldview, you will draw another one. And most people who have a faith that can't be shaken, listen to what I'm going to say. Most people that I know that have a faith that cannot be shaken have lived lives through a time when their faith was shaken. So I just want to challenge you today to exercise hard faith and to exercise why faith. And so I want to say just a couple of brief things here. Why faith is a faith that can be burdened. It is a right to be burdened. It's always right for you to be burdened by wrongs. If you go through life with an easy faith and ignore everything that is wrong, that's wrong. Because when we see things that are wrong, we need to do something and act on that. I read about a professor in a third world country where there were a lot of poverty, and he ordered some food. He was sitting near a window, and he noticed several street kids peering through the window looking at him eat his food. He lost his appetite. The store owner responded by taking some food to the street, or didn't respond by taking food to the street, but pulling down the blind and said, "Now you can eat your meal, enjoy your food." Hard faith will always challenge you, and it's better to cry why. It's better for you to cry why than never to cry at all. It's better to cry why. Why faith runs to God instead of running away. Hard faith presses in instead of pulling away. When Habakkuk had a problem with God, he never had a problem at all with taking it to God. That's what the entire book is about. He's talking to God. "I got a problem. And I need an explanation. He didn't have any problem with doing that. God's big enough to handle that. So he says, I'm going to stand my watch. His conclusion is, I'm going to stand my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I'm going to look and see what he says to me and what answer I will give to this complaint. So Habakkuk fully expected to have a conversation with God. And God is not afraid of hard conversations. You need to know that. He's not afraid of you having a hard conversation with him. He can take it. So Habakkuk was saying to God that he would rather wrestle with him than to do life without him. God, I'd rather wrestle with you about this stuff that I don't understand than to live life without you. And when you don't know what God is going to say, press in to what you know about him. I heard about a man who lost his mother to breast cancer, and he said that he asked God when she was diagnosed, God, what is your will for my mother? Is your will to heal her or to take her? And he said that he heard God say, my will for your mother is to know me. And he says, well, she does know you. And then he said, he heard God say, well, no matter what I decide to do, she's in my will. And if that is sufficient for me, it ought to be sufficient for you. Amen? And whenever we are in situations like that, it requires hard faith. He was called to view the mysteries of God through the lens of the character of God. Why faith views the mysteries of God through the lens of the character of God. And that is what we all have to remember about faith. We wouldn't need faith. Listen, you wouldn't even need faith if there were no mysteries. We need faith because life is full of mysteries. So it makes total sense to me, and I hope it does to you, that God will not always make total sense to me. That makes total sense to me that he won't always make total sense to me. Because I need a God whose ways are not my ways. I need a God whose thoughts are above my thoughts, and I need a God who is beyond me. And that is bigger than me and is better than me. That's the kind of God I need. And in those hard places where I'm asking why, I always have to step back and remember what I know. What I always have to remember is all the things that I really, really know. Let me finish with this story. Dr. Paul Brand is a believer and he's a hand surgeon. He was in India at a leper colony. If you know anything about leprosy, it can attack your fingers and your toes. Your fingers can become stubs and you can lose them completely. So they asked Dr. Brand to speak, and he did, and he said this, to be honest, I'm a hand surgeon, and I cannot not look at a person's hands. He said that he would love to have seen Jesus' hands. He said they would have been calloused from the work and mangled by the nails. He said Jesus would have had crippled hands. And as he spoke, the lepers began to raise their hands to the Lord, feeling a connection to Jesus that they had never felt before. You've heard me say this, the church has, many times before about world religions. There are a lot of things that are unique to Christianity and all the other religions, but Christianity is the only religion that has a God that suffered. So hard faith remembers the cross. And hard faith remembers that Jesus himself hung on a cross between a rock and a hard place. And the only why that explains that is that God loved us that much. And you can trust a God like that. And so when life gets hard, your faith gets harder. Amen? And this is your take-home point. Hard faith. Remember this. Hard faith always sees past the problem to the person of Jesus. Hard faith will always see past the problem to the person of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thanks for the opportunity for me to speak here to these good people, the family I have here at BCC. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful this morning for the message of Habakkuk. We all struggle with our faith from time to time because life is hard. We live in a world that's suffering at hard times. Help us to always look up. Help us to have those hard conversations with you when we don't understand what's taking place. And help us to keep our faith and keep it focused on the person of Jesus, your Son. And we thank you for him. And it's in his name that we pray. And amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Brevard Christian Church podcast. We pray you were encouraged and blessed. Want to connect with us? Go to brevardchristian.com and hit the contact us page. We'd love to follow up with you and help you take your next step as we get closer to him. And until next time, grace and peace to you.